This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the show. I hope wherever you are safe, sound, or at least kicking it and having a good time, no matter what it takes. It is the holiday season, you can see, because decorations are starting to go up all over the place, and some of the goblins and ghouls and witches and pumpkins are disappearing from front porches, and instead sleighs and Santas and bells and wreaths and that kind of thing already, because we're almost at that point. We're at Thanksgiving, and then that signals in the end of the year, and you know what that means. 2021 coming up on this show in the next couple of weeks. We'll take a look back at what happened this wild year, some of the great people we've had on the show, the conversations, the constant drumbeat of the pandemic, and the tug of war over masks and vaccine and where we're at now, supply chain problems, the stock market rocking and rolling all over the place, which, by the way, it was down on Tuesday. And then predictions for what 2022 will look like. It's so hard to even say that. I have to purposely enunciate 2022. It sounds so odd to me. All right, so when we look at the world of COVID and the repercussions and the mandates and everything else, there are mandates in the NFL, although unvaccinated players can play. There isn't a you have to be vaccinated, but then you have to get tests a lot of times. And apparently for Aaron Rodgers, that meant 300 times before he tested positive for COVID. So Rodgers decided to clear the air on Tuesday as he was also being fined $14,000, almost $15,000, and the Packers were fined $300,000. This is that discipline schedule that was negotiated by the NFL and the NFL Players Association. So the NFL determined that Aaron Rodgers and also wide receiver Alan Lazard had attended a Halloween party despite being unvaccinated. That's a violation of protocols that doesn't allow unvaccinated players from gathering outside of team facilities in a group of more than three players, which they did. The NFL said while the team didn't sanction the party, it was aware of the party after the fact and is being fined for failure to report the violations to the NFL and failure to discipline Rodgers and Lazard. So the Packers get slammed with $300,000. That was the fine for them. So Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy said, "We respect the league's findings. We recognize the importance of adherence to the COVID protocols to keep our team and organization safe and healthy. We're going to continue to educate the team regarding the importance of protocols and remain committed to operating within the protocols." How many times can you say protocols in one sentence? I think Mark Murphy nailed it in that sentence. So, of course, I mean, what is the league going to say? The Packers were fully cooperative. What are they going to do? They signed the thing. They agreed on the agreement, so they had to pay the fine. Who knew Halloween parties would cost you just so much? All right, so the NFL also noted that unvaccinated players like Aaron Rodgers should have been wearing a mask during press conferences, which he didn't, and that was part of the whole scrutiny over what happened with Aaron Rodgers after he tested positive, what had gone on, because he said he was following protocol, and he was around players until that party, but not around the media and some other things that he was doing. So that is what I think came back to bite him there. So it's interesting, the fallout of Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, is going to be on the field and will be the signal caller against Seattle. He's having otherwise a really good year, but it started off terribly with the whole controversy over heading to training camp, and then this testing positive for COVID, which He also said, like I said, Aaron Rodgers cleared the air in a sense where he said he respects people's decisions to do, you know, what they've decided to do, and that he was tested 300 times, and he takes full responsibility on his COVID-19, you know, test. So I'm not surprised that there was more to come from that after he appeared on the Pat McAfee show and all of that. So, again, he said, I accept full responsibility, and it's a very charged situation because of public health concerns. And maybe he puts this whole thing to bed and then everybody moves on. But I think it certainly puts the spotlight on other players. And I'll say it, the NFL is not requiring vaccines. They're not requiring the players have to be vaccinated, but they have strict protocols if they're not vaccinated. So that's the thing. And that's what led to so much of that, you know, panic, I suppose, in a sense, over what happened with Aaron Rodgers. I shouldn't say panic, really more hysteria than anything else. And you know, on to the next, whatever that ultimately will be. And speaking of on to the next, the thing that I say this show is about is the buzz in your backyard and mine, what affects me and what affects you. And part of that is the Biden mandate. So the Biden mandate, because of all these lawsuits that have been filed, it's been pushed off till January 4th. And when I say pushed off, it means 100 or more employees, they have to be fully vaccinated by January 4th or be tested weekly and wear a mask on the job. So here's what I wonder. How are you going to know, how do you enforce this, right? So how does the Labor Department, I thought about this the other day, how does the Labor Department enforce what they're doing here? There's not enough inspectors to go out to all these workplaces and see what's happening. So now the government is saying they're relying on a corps of informers to identify violations of the order. So that would be employees who will be concerned enough, they say, to turn in their own employers if their coworkers go unvaccinated or fail to undergo weekly tests. So how many people are going to rat out somebody they know? They're not testing every week. I don't know. Do they get a bonus for doing that by blowing the whistle on their own employers? How is the government going to be able to? How are they going to be able to achieve what they say they're going to achieve at these companies? You know, tens of millions of workers will be on these jobs. Tens of millions. So OSHA doesn't have enough people to deal with that, right? I don't know. I guess if there's unions, they'd file complaints with the union where the company is skirting the law, I suppose. But it would just be cherry picking, luck of the draw, if they show up to see that the company's following the protocols or not. But what kind of retaliation would you get if you were a whistleblower? What would that mean? By the way, I know that 5 people that work on the line with me are not vaccinated and they're not following protocol. I don't know. That's pretty tricky, I would say. That's interesting. And what is making news, I think, or should make news eventually when it comes around in January. So there's my first prediction for 2022. This will not work, my friends. It will not work.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, it's Kate Delaney. We have breaking news from Facebook's founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Listen to what Mark has to say.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do. To reflect who we are and what we hope to build, I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same, still about bringing people together. Our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people.
Meta builds technologies that help people find communities, connect, and grow businesses. Remember when Facebook launched in 2004, it changed the way people connect. Apps were created like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Now Meta is moving beyond 2D screens toward immersive experiences like augmented and virtual reality to help build the next evolution in social technology. To unlock more opportunities, go to Meta.com.
In our virtual green room, Dr. Pastor Bill Reese. His book is Mental Health Care and the Art of Self-Regulation. Pastor, thanks so much for coming on.
I'm glad to be on.
Let's talk about why you wrote this book. What did you see that you thought there was a need to write this book?
Well, I just felt like there needed to be more awareness around mental health and education. So, mental health has been in denial and depravity for too long, and so I just thought that there needed to be a tool out there so we can get this information out to people so those that are suffering with mental health will be able to get the resources on time to help them have a better day.
Yeah, one of the things you talk about is learning how to self-regulate and manage personal behaviors. There's things that we can do for self-calming and redirecting our behavior. Tell us a few of those things. What does your book say? What could people do listening to this conversation right now?
Well, we can learn how to have a better dialogue around mental health and come up with some strategies that are preventative measures and things that we can do to make it more easier for us to be able to help those suffering with mental health. So, you know, like proactive planning and stuff like that and addressing the needs and how we can be in attune with those who may be going through difficult times. So, you know, just learning how to deal and help be responsible to, you know, be there to just help out in the time of need, learning how to be safe and, you know, wording, using the right proper wording around people to make sure that we're extending our comfort and consolation to those who need it and being transparent at all times. And so I thought maybe this book would be more of a tool rather than some kind of diagnosis to help somebody with mental health, but a regular tool to show us how we can live together and work together and support each other in a time of need to make all of us feel better at all times.
Yeah, and you talk about the ability to create wholesome conversations around mental health and having that safe place and having family unity and then being able to be honest with people at church and in the community. Because do you feel like too many people have to hide how they're feeling?
I feel like there's a lot of them that they don't want to expose that because they're going to be feel further rejected, or you might traumatize them. So in order to make people feel more comfortable, it's important that we be transparent ourselves and let people know that all of us, you know, have those days where we just feel that we need some extra help ourselves. And so sharing that information with somebody else and telling our stories, it gives other people, it creates hope that others can live and to, you know, be able to function as a whole. So that, I thought that was so vitally important.
Yeah, and I mean, and you really practice what you preach, so to speak. I mean, you're on the board of directors for the Pavilion Mental Health Initiative. That's in Round Rock, Texas. You do whatever you can to lend your voice to the community. And do you feel like now there are more people getting involved, there are more programs, and there is better conversation around this huge problem?
Well, it's starting to get a little bit better, but there's still a lot of work to be done in this area because, I mean, it's, sometimes it seems like mental health is on the back burner and that there's not enough initiative, wholesome conversation going on about it. There are a lot of resources out there, but that's a disconnect, you know, between first responders, church leadership, and professional care. There needs to be a greater bond there. So that's part of the reason that I wanted to address these issues to show us that there are ways and means that we can do things to make things better for people in general.
Yeah, that's for sure. And for you, in all the times that you've, you know, as a pastor and preaching and what you've seen, is this worse than ever, this the stigma surrounding it?
Yeah, it is, because it's difficult for people that's suffering to get that point across, to get their voice heard and stuff like that, because everybody's in a rush mode. And so sometimes we just need to slow down. It's not that people want you to totally help them, but just give them the time and space and to be kind and courteous to people and show comfort. So that's the thing that, you know, everybody's after looking after their own well-being. So it's just time to slow down and know that God created all of us equal and that all of us should have equal opportunity to live the best life that we can live. So it's part of the inclusion where we can all work together and become self-regulated, that all of us can think about what we can do a little bit different that makes somebody else fit in, that their life run a little bit smoother.
I like that. Do something a little bit different that can help people run their life a little bit smoother and slow down. Mental health care and the art of self-regulation. Dr. Pastor Bill Reese, thanks so much for coming on. You can get the book on Amazon and wherever books are sold. Thank you.
God bless you and appreciate you, too. Thanks so much.
I love that people are doing things to highlight the struggles that other people are having. And what he said I thought was so significant there is, remember, Mental Health Awareness Month was, or in 2022 is going to be May, and in October there was Mental Health Awareness Month. So I think, you know, combating depression and the things that people are feeling, especially since the pandemic and the polarization of you and I versus them and those, and I mean, it's crazy, right? So it is like we're constantly battling all kinds of things. And so imagine if you're struggling with something else and you pile this on top of it and all the things that the pandemic has brought to bear for so many people. And again, that's a good man who's doing what he can to try to unite people and help people. And what he said that I thought was so powerful is the slowdown, you know, because we're racing through. He's right. We're racing through so much that sometimes we don't pay attention to what's right in front of us. All right, we're paying attention here, that's for sure. When we look at what's happening in Washington, and you know, we just had the whole infrastructure vote and what happened for that that bill that went through, ultimately it was one of those Hail Marys late on Friday. Now it's a question of parceling it out and moving on from that. And I think one of the conversations that happened during the day was Ron Johnson, a Republican from Wisconsin, Senator Johnson, talking about the number of border crossers and illegal migrants that are being released into the country under the Department of Homeland Security. He says it's being hidden from Congress and the public. He says that There have been numerous requests. What is the number? And who was repositioned in the U.S.? And, you know, how many have been transported by either DHS or contractors to find a final destination by plane, train, and bus since January of this year, since the beginning of January? And, you know, Johnson says they're persistent and they have not gotten the list. And other oversights, things that are being asked about, things that happened, you know, with the 30,000 who amassed in Del Rio, Texas, who were headed for the southern border, what happened there. And we know quickly that definitely turned around pretty fast, thank goodness, because it was horrific for that week and a half that all we saw were pictures of just massive bodies of people huddled underneath a bridge. So DHS has been talking about the caravan of 60,000 migrants who plan to travel to the southern border, or any other caravan planning to travel or currently traveling to the southern border. They've also requested information on that, more oversights, right, to try to figure out numbers and how it's being dealt with, etc. And I honestly think what it is catch as catch can. Have you ever heard that phrase? We're just moving as fast as we can. Talk about not slowing down. And so requests for information, of course, are going unfulfilled. And the call that will there be another surge of others making their way to the border, and what's being done to prevent that from happening? And is there a count? Do we have a count? And I think there's never been an exact, any kind of hard count. There are different things that they're referring to, that Johnson is referring to in the tally that of people that have come into the U.S. and what is the chain of where they go and where they end up. I think that that chain has always been very weak, depending on the crisis of the moment and how serious it is and how many people have successfully been turned away and how many got through and how overwhelmed so many of the facilities are. I've said this before, but ever since I've come on the air, the number one thing that has only changed a little bit, the faces, the rhetoric, whether it's Republicans, frankly, or Democrats, on this hot potato, of all the hot potatoes out there that keeps getting tossed around and pops up every once in a while, it is illegal immigration, no question about that. All right, hang with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Astroworld concert on Friday night in Houston, which caused a stampede which killed 8 people, is under close investigation now. The FBI is in on it. Meanwhile, over 24 lawsuits have been filed against rapper Travis Scott, a co-performer at the event, Drake, and Astroworld organizers and promoters. One of those to be suing them is Jonathan Espinoza, who says there were a lot of problems. For one thing, he says he expected, after being a paying customer, that there'd be more emergency facilities on hand should they have been needed.
Medics, not medics who don't even know what CPR is. Gota said they had one AED out of the whole festival for 50,000 people. This is just ridiculous.
After 28 years with NBC and MSNBC, Brian Williams is leaving the network at the end of this year. And this is USA Radio News. President Biden making remarks before the Democratic National Committee on Tuesday. The president saying Democrats must stay united ahead of the 2022 midterm elections.
We need to remember what got us to the White House in the first place. We won in 2020 as a unified party, maybe more unified than ever. Now, as we look at 2022, we need to stay unified. We need to remember that the American people sent us here to deliver, to make their lives better.
Republicans see the midterms as a potential referendum on the Biden administration, especially when it comes to its handling of the economy. AAA predicting Thanksgiving travel this year will return to pre-pandemic levels, as more than 53 million Americans are expected to be on the move, a 13% hike over last year. It comes as the national average gasoline price is up at $3.42 a gallon. That's 15 cents higher than last month. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Call this segment Odds and Ends because there's so much to talk about that falls in between the cracks of our lives that would be virtual water cooler stuff. I mean, look, everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers, and was he not vaccinated? Was he misleading because of that? Did he say he was immunized, or did he say he was immune? And good for Aaron Rodgers because he did release a statement where he said, I made some comments that people might have felt were misleading, and to anybody who felt misled by those comments, I take full responsibility for those comments. He said, I understand that this issue in general is very charging to a lot of people because we're talking about public health. I totally respect that. I made a decision that was in the best interest based on consulting with my doctors, and I understand that not everybody is going to understand that necessarily, but I respect everybody's opinion. So it was good that he reeled that back in because he just went crazy nuts on McAfee's show, Pat McAfee's show, where he leaned in and said the media was on a witch hunt to find out which players were vaccinated, blamed reporters for saying he was immunized back in August, and said if reporters would have asked a follow-up question, he would have explained he's not an anti-vax flat earther, but that he's a critical thinker. I mean, here's the bottom line. He's saying that he followed the NFL protocols for unvaccinated players to a T, so that's going to be looked into anyways, of course. He said he was tested, not vaccinated, he was tested over 300 times. Let me repeat that number. 300 times before testing positive. So he said also, and he said this before, that he didn't get vaccinated because he has an allergy to an ingredient in the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines and was scared about the possible side effects from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And he said the decision to seek alternative treatments was
it was what was best for my body. So anyway, Rodgers is expected to play this Sunday at home against the Seattle Seahawks, so Green Bay fans can breathe a sigh of relief as they had to be worried with Rodgers out. I think that he nipped some of that controversy. I mean, look, he's saying he, I give him credit for what he said, you know, that he respects the different opinions. The problem was when I'm sure when he wasn't expecting the backlash and then poof, all of a sudden got it and then had to respond or felt like he had to respond. And, you know, that's where you take that breath. You know, when you're furious and someone sends you like some sort of email, of course, it's nothing like what Rodgers was dealing with, but whatever it is where you back away from the keyboard. When I worked for NBC, they used to say this because people got into trouble, back away from the keyboard. So anyway, is it neat and tidy? Probably not, because we'll see again what this investigation yields and if there's going to be fines for Green Bay, if it really wasn't followed to a T. But 300 tests really tells you something. I mean, he must have been tested practically every day almost, it seems. So, you know, there you go. All right, odds and ends. This would be crazy, sad, and just depressing. I mean, it would. I mean, it's life. Things happen, right? But there's been a lawsuit filed by a Southern California couple. They say a Los Angeles-based fertility clinic implanted the wrong embryos into two women during in vitro fertilization during the procedures they had. So Daff and Alexander Cardinal, residents of L.A. County, were customers of this reproductive health center. And they named the doctor, Dr. Moore, in the lawsuit. And they said they entrusted Moore and the fertility clinic to complete the IVF procedure after years of trying for a second child with no luck. So they were thrilled by the birth of a healthy baby girl, but they were shocked by the appearance of the baby. Like, they're fair people. They expected a fair child. Instead, much darker, like jet black hair, almost looked like a different race. So 8 weeks later, a DNA test proved that the child birthed was not related to her or her husband, and it was determined that their embryo was transferred to another couple who carried their biological child to term. Oh, my gosh. And, oh, it had to be just a blow to hear that. So what the family is saying, they never had especially the mother, she never had an opportunity to grow and bond with their child during pregnancy or any of that. So the lawsuit says that both companies are owned by Moore. Where this all ends up, I mean, for both families, that just has to be just a wild experience. I mean, seriously, because then someone else is raising your child. You know, they're 3 months old. That's the other part of this. And then you're switching babies, you know. So this isn't like a neat and tidy Hollywood movie, you know, switched at birth. No, this is a nightmare is what it is. And I think the doctor is going to have to pay. I'm no lawyer, but I do have some lawyers in my family, and I'm thinking, you know, the whole proof thing, it looks like that could be pretty much tied up, but very sad, really. I think it's sad. All right, so we move on from embryos and that controversy. So it's interesting. We start with COVID-19, the backlash for Aaron Rodgers, and then this in vitro really crazy mix-up to this. How about this? The Supreme Court reverses a court's decision to have Johnson & Johnson pay $465 million to the state for its role in the opioid crisis, because initially that wasn't what the deal was. So in the justice's decision filed on Tuesday, they wrote that the district court erred by holding J&J liable under the state's public nuisance statute for its opioid prescription marketing campaign. What the Oklahoma Supreme Court Justice James Winchester wrote in his opinion, and by the way, again, this was the Oklahoma Supreme Court, so not to mislead you, do you think that it's the Supreme Court? It's the other Supreme Court. Every state has that, right? So what he said was, we hold the district court's expansion of public nuisance law, that we say that it went too far. Oklahoma public nuisance law does not extend to the manufacturing, marketing, and selling of prescription opioids. So in, you know, in reaching the decision, they say they don't minimize the severity of the harm that thousands of Oklahoma citizens have suffered because of opioids. However, grave the problem of opioid addiction is in Oklahoma. Public nuisance law does not provide a remedy for this harm. So Johnson & Johnson called its actions relating to the marketing and promotion of the prescription pain medications appropriate and responsible. So they have a lot of people weighing in and saying they're disappointed, like the Oklahoma Attorney General, John O'Connor, who said he was disappointed by the state Supreme Court's decision that not holding them accountable, Johnson & Johnson, for their deceptive actions was a huge victory for Oklahoma citizens and their family, you know, initially, who had been ravaged by opioids. So that judgment was a good one. And he says they're going to explore other options, pursue other pending claims against opioid distributors who have flooded our communities with these highly addictive drugs for decades. Oklahomans deserve nothing less. So all of you listening in Oklahoma, like so many other places, you know what's happened with the opioid addictions and some of the sad endings to way too many people. And so that's what that was about. But looking at the letter of the law, the Supreme Court there said, no, that doesn't fit. It just, you know, it just doesn't work. So there you go. Comcast Xfinity internet outage slammed customers across the U.S. You know, the one thing people complain about all the time is their internet provider, right? I mean, it's hilarious when they try to bundle everything. We all know the offerings. There was even a wild skit on Saturday Night Live this past weekend that was about Spectrum, and they just slammed the whole thing on hold and everything that you go through. It was very funny. It's not funny when your internet's down and everybody works from home. So Comcast customers in the U.S., parts of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, had outages early Tuesday with their Xfinity internet service. And they had like 52,000 outage reports at 9 a.m. Most say a complete blackout, right? And then what do you get? You can't get anyone. They tweet out, we know due to unforeseen circumstances, and we're, you know, that we are having connection concerns around the nation. Our network team is working hard to find a resolution. But then at 11 a.m., so this is 2 hours, you're tracking this, 11 a.m. Eastern, so it started at 9 a.m. Eastern, some customers were experiencing intermittent service interruptions as a result of a network issue. That was something Xfinity tweeted out. And then said, again, our teams are actively working to bring impacted customers back online. As we continue to investigate, we apologize to those who have been affected. Then around noon, the company confirmed in a statement to CNN that an earlier network issue had caused intermittent service disruptions for some customers, but that they addressed it and they're now restoring the service for impacted customers, and they're trying to get to the root cause. Oh boy. And there were still some people for, you know, through that whole thing, they just had nothing. Crickets. Crickets don't work very well when we live in the world that revolves around the internet and connectivity, right? It just goes to show you. I mean, it just blew up on Twitter and all over the place. Do you have it? Is this happening where you are? And you know what you do. You have to go find someone who doesn't have their service. Knock on your neighbor's door. Run to Starbucks and drink the crummy coffee. I'm sorry, I don't like Starbucks coffee. It's too strong. But wherever, because you could go there and hopefully be connected, because they don't have that service. That truly is odds and ends for this time around. Stay with us, everybody. Hey, it's Kate Delaney. We have breaking news from Facebook's founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Listen to what Mark has to say.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do, to reflect who we are and what we hope to build. I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same, still about bringing people together. Our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people.
Meta builds technologies that help people find communities, connect, and grow businesses. Remember when Facebook launched in 2004, it changed the way people connect. Apps were created like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Now Meta is moving beyond 2D screens toward immersive experiences like augmented and virtual reality to help build the next evolution in social technology. To unlock more opportunities, go to meta.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I was walking along, minding my business, when out of an orange-colored sky,
flash, flash, how it goes out.
Wonderful.
Very pleased to take you to the UK, in fact, just outside of London, for a conversation with Anika Connage. She's written this really cool book. You know what? It's things that I've thought about, and she has put it together in this book. All by Faith, and then there's Coincidence, line across it, true life stories about the supernatural power of God. Why do things happen when you suddenly need something? Why don't more people have conversations with God? And she talks about that in her book. Anika, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
What made you decide I'm going to write this book?
Actually, it was God. He prompted it on my spirit, and then I just kept getting a lot of witnesses. So I was getting dreams of me writing books. I would go to church that same week, and my pastor would be talking about writing a book for himself. I kept putting it on different movies, and there'd be somebody in that movie that was writing a book. And then friends started telling me that they were having dreams of me writing a book. So it was very much like, you know, Bruce Almighty or Evan Almighty, where it was God just in my face. Just, he kept telling me over and over to write a book.
And you did it. What was it like pulling together all these amazing stories that you knew that happened to you and other things that you saw? Was it fun to do?
Yeah, at first, because it's always been my life since the age of five. So at first, it didn't feel anything different from my usual, that this is the way I live. My family and friends know this. And it was just only when I'd put it all together and saw the stories one after the other, especially how some just interweaved into others, even when I was writing the revelations of different things, and then how it just it went so well with the stories. I was just like, wow, because I was taking it for granted that I've always lived a life this way, and God wants this to be shared with everybody. So I didn't see until I saw it on paper, the stories one after the other, that I thought, wow, you know, this is quite awesome, and I can't wait to have everybody, if they're not experiencing this, and how they can, you know, experience it.
And, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that people struggle with, as you know, is money. And there are thoughts around money, not having money, fights over money, divorces over money. I mean, it's just, it is crazy in so many ways. But you have a good story, one that I really like, about money that you told me off the air. Tell the listeners about that.
Yeah, it was it's a dear one to my heart because I didn't have any money on this particular day and I wanted to meet my friend in the West End. And I don't know why I didn't tell her that I didn't have any money to meet her. I just said, okay, yeah, we'll meet in the West End. So I needed a travel card and that was £5. And so I said to God that morning, I said, well, Lord, I need £5 to get to the West End and I want to find it on the floor. I'm not sure why I said I want to find it on the floor, but that's what I said. I went out with my other friend that morning and then we went into an internet cafe for her to do some business. And then she turned around and said, oh, there's £5 here on the floor. And, you know, I said, no, that's my £5. And I picked it up. I told her my story, told her what happened that morning. And then I went and bought my travel card and met my friend. And even to today now, she doesn't know that, you know, I didn't have any money from when we did arrange it to up to that time to actually meet her. And I love that because it was very specific to what I wanted and to where I wanted to find it.
And then, I mean, talk about a sign. And you weren't even asking for a sign, but you just said it, and then it happened. And, I mean, that's why I like the coincidence question mark. No coincidence. And besides money, another thing that, of course, is something that we all care about, that things happen to us when it comes to health. And you were pregnant with your daughter, and you had an interesting story about what happened. Tell us that story, too.
Yes, so I had a cyst just before my having my daughter, conceiving my daughter, and basically after, I think, 5 centimeters, they can't reduce in size. You would need to be operated. So instead of mine reducing, it was getting bigger. So they really wanted to operate on me. I'd got a word from the Lord. I always pray on stuff beforehand because I don't have a problem with being operated on, but I just like to put everything before the Lord first. And he said, no, just keep doing scans. So then I conceived my daughter, kept doing the scans with my daughter. They were getting concerned, so they wanted to take it out as well once I had my daughter because it was getting bigger. And obviously I kept explaining to my consultants that, no, you know, God's going to deal with it. I had 3 at the time. By the time I had my daughter, I had 6, and because there were some other things that I had I can't remember another thing to do with my placenta. So anyway, so I had 6, and they were like, we need to take out this cyst. So I said, no, please leave it. Anyway, I had my daughter, and they checked me. In actual fact, I think a month before I had my daughter, they couldn't find the cyst on the scan. And I said, oh, God's probably healed me now. They said, nope, there's no way this can go. We're the medical doctors. We've done all this. We've never seen anybody's cyst go after it being bigger than 5 centimeters. And so they said it must just be hidden. But I knew it was gone by then. Anyway, I had my daughter and they went checking for it. And when I asked them, all 6 of them looked at each other. They were just puzzled. And then they looked at me and said, we don't know where it's gone.
Wow. I like that. We don't know where it's gone. You know, the medical doctors. And then again, it's exactly what you're talking about. All by faith. If we take the shorthand of the book. In writing this book and in living your life that way, is there a sense of peace?
Definitely, exactly. I never go, I don't know what it's like to not hear God's voice. And when I say that, and this is what I explain for the book, because he doesn't always speak to your spirit. He speaks through situations. So I try and as well explain to people how you can hear him through situations. I've been out with friends, and even when we've been worried about something or they've been worried about something, I can see someone walk past with a box that says trust on it, and they wouldn't know at that specific moment that God was saying trust. So he's always speaking. So I'm just always at peace. I'm always at peace. I've never been left to worry about something that he won't give me a word for, whether I just watch something, a dream, someone gets a dream for me, or me just seeing like a poster or a t-shirt, and I've got all this in the book. There's complete peace when it comes to the Lord.
So the name of the book again is All by Faith. You'll see coincidence written on it with a question mark and a line through it. True life stories, which is so powerful, about the supernatural power of God. Anika, what do you hope people take away from reading the book?
I just hope they see a loving father that he is, that he's so close, that he's ever so near, so close, that he doesn't want them in suffering. He doesn't want them suffering with an illness that's just there and that they can't get rid of. He doesn't want them to suffer financially, that they are in debt, that there's that they need money and they just don't know where to get that, or that they have to do two or three jobs in order to get that. I want to kind of get rid of the myth that he's just a God, so distant, and that he's strict. He's it's just rules and commands, and just that he's a loving father, just like how if we've got children, or what we know what it's like when we're children with parents, and you know, in a healthy situation, that they're loving, and that they're just always providing for us. So I want them to know that.
I love it. It's a perfect place to end this. Anika Connage, you can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing.
Thank you so much for that.
Well, I definitely think, as I said at the top of this, Anika is on to something. There are no coincidences. You know, some people believe, as she and I were talking about, some people will think, oh, fate or mystery, but is it the universe of God? What causes coincidences? Why do people, that's why she had that line across that I thought was brilliant. What are the odds? You know, there's so many catchphrases. It's so interesting, the science even behind what some people think. You know, that is it are coincidences an inevitable consequence of the mind searching for the answer, like trying to say, well, I don't believe this, or, you know, I don't believe in a higher power. Could that really be? It's interesting when somebody who has been a doubter suddenly leaps to understand what the difference is. And it's that, I think it's that, you know, it's those life-threatening moments, especially when a kid is sick, when you get an unexpected curveball financially. You know, I loved her story about what, it's kind of like the sign. You see, all of a sudden you see the sign. Whether it's something little, you just needed something. You needed something financially. It doesn't have to be huge. Like, people think, well, I just pray for millions of dollars. You know, it's not that. It's that sign. And I like the way that she so eloquently put it, right? That we're all, you know, and we're all connected. We're all connected, and there are certainly some synchronicities. And I think it's, again, beautiful the way she put that together in the book. So we enjoyed our conversation, and we certainly enjoyed this hour of the show and all of your contributions. Boy, the mailbag was full. Make it count, everybody. We're all connected. Just remember that.
This town. Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.